Episode 20 of Into the Spotlight. How are we doing? I feel good. I feel great. There's a lot to talk about. Okay. First of all, I want to say more light to me. I'm 22. I made it to another year. And boy, let's just get into it. You know, when my auntie died earlier this year in January and then in January, and I left for the funeral, I was there for nearly a month. And I came back with no work. I had a job, but I had no desire to go back to that job. 16 an hour for like 3-4 days. Literally suicide. So I had no intentions of going back. And it just took so much time to get another job and secure a job. You know, my phone kept on breaking. And then I had to get a new SIM card. So I went without service. And then, you know, it was just everything was going wrong. And then I finally started working the midway of June. And, you know, I have a really good work space where I work. They celebrated me. You know, they embraced me. Not only just on and for my birthday, but as me as a caretaker and as an employee. And I appreciate that. And I thought I was going to be either dead, I thought I was either going to be homeless, and I thought I'd have nothing by the time my birthday came around. No exaggeration. And I don't want to be too heavy on the bad stuff, but I have to keep a balance with the good and the bad. And I found a good space for me to go to consistently. Shout out to the LGBT Center of LA. Shout out to Project Q and the amazing people that run and organize both of those two places. I wouldn't look the way that I do. I wouldn't feel the way that I feel. I wouldn't be eating and being healthy and being consistent with the day-to-day life the way that I am without those two organizations and the people that run them. And for my birthday, you know, I had to go to work. It was a Wednesday, but I had an amazing day. And then that Friday, then the same week, I went to go see Elvis. Okay, and then a couple days ago, this Wednesday that we just passed, I performed for the first time. I performed my music, and I did it in downtown Los Angeles, where I love to be. Okay, the city that I love. I love Los Angeles. I love Los Angeles, California. And I love being in downtown Los Angeles. And it was through God for me being here and being ready for that moment. It was Ace the Bandit, a good friend of mine that I've had since I've been back in LA, for connecting me to this opportunity. And it was Mr. Ramon, the man himself, for blessing me with the stage and the opportunity to present my art, present my music, present myself in the way that I did. And I trusted myself and I trusted God for me to be ready, for me to be poised. And I kicked it off. You know, I was the first one to go. I asked him, or I told him, I want to be the first. And he blessed me with that too. And he had faith in me. And I didn't let him down. You know, I think I can speak assuredly and confidently that I didn't let him down. And I want to keep doing it. I love performing. I love making music. And I love being in that energy and being in that space. So the thoughts that I had months before my birthday didn't come to fruition. And I thank God. I thank myself for not giving up. I thank the LGBT Center of LA. And I thank Project Q for motivating me, for putting me in a secure space. I thank my barber up in Burbank, Jorge, for motivating me and providing a safe space as well. And, you know, I thank God, man. I thank God, and I thank the people around me that's been here, that I trust, that I love, that I can talk to every day. Denise, you know, I thank her for a lot of the consistency. You know, she goes out of her way to, you know, feed me sometimes. And that is a true testament of a friend. You know, she isn't too older than me, but, you know, I look up to her in a lot of ways, and I always try to have that respect level, you know, between not only just two friends, but also two people that are in a creative space. She's been on the podcast, and, you know, she could just say, no, I don't want to. It's not, you know, but she's always been very reliant. She's been very nice. And she did something on the first one. She says, yo, I'm not used to putting myself out there, but I am. And that's a testament of her growth. And I'm so in love with that. You know, no matter any age, you should never stop growing. You should never stop trying to, you know, elevate yourself and expand your growth and expand your life. And nothing but positivity, positive words for Denise. You know, she's amazing. She's, you know, she's just a great friend and an even better, you know, person and artist. And I thank God for her as well. You know, it hasn't been easy. Every day isn't fun. Every day isn't anything. But every day is good for me. Once I turned 22, and even days before then, before I turned 22, you know, I was walking into positivity. I went back to going to church. I went back to working out consistently. I went back to just aligning myself with God, aligning myself with positivity, with reassurance, and not needing it from anyone else. And that is what I needed. And when I was a kid, I didn't have that. I didn't have reassurance, and I didn't have trust in myself. You know, something that I spoke upon, that you're going to hear on Death, Time, Love, Always, DTLA, you're going to hear me talk about abandonment issues. You know, one of the songs is called Abandonment Issues, and you're going to hear about what I went through as a kid. And I spoke upon this topic earlier, and I would like to show you what I was talking about more specifically. When I was a kid, I watched this show called 16, and it's like the title, it's the number 6, T-E-E-N, and it started in Canada, and then like Cartoon Network kind of like bought the rights. Now, I don't think the entirety, but like, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to start playing some of these episodes. And for what it wasn't a grown cartoon. Right, it's not an adult cartoon, but it's about 16 year olds, and there's episodes where like nudity is involved between a stepbrother and a stepsister who also just happen to be friends within the group. You know, there's episodes where like it's real stuff happening, you know, like same sex couples or the gossip between, you know, the gossip of someone being in a same-sex relationship. Like, there's real teenage adult transition situations that are going on. And as a kid, I was like, yo, this is cool, man. Like, I want to be, like, I only thought when I'm a teenager, oh, I'm going to be in the mall. I've literally thought that. Like, I'm 9 years old when I'm watching this. I'm like, I'm not really paying attention to too much of what the major plot lines are. But I'm like, yo, I want to be like Jonesy. I want to be like Wyatt or Jude or Jen, Caitlin, and Nikki. Like, I want to be in the mall just chilling. I'm going to be working. I'm going to have my drink. I'm going to have my snacks and my food. And it's going to be cool. And boy, was I wrong. I would like to show you, but I also want to I also want to get the audio right first, because I'm, you know, I record on Zoom and also on GarageBand, so I want to make sure I have enough of the track to get us right. But there was a scene within one of the episodes that I want to talk about, and I talked about this earlier on socials, and it really resonated with me. And I do want to say forewarning, if I do get emotional, I might get emotional, so I might have to stop it and everything. But this isn't I'm do not feel sorry for me. Do not feel any type of like sympathy. I just want you to understand that this is something I had to go through, and I'm so thankful that I outgrew it and I was able to not let it affect me negatively, but I was able to build something from it. So if I can like share my screen, which is something I want to do, I will gladly do that. But first, I need to make sure that we're all set. So without further ado, we are back. We are back, and now I can screen share. I think that's what it's called. Yes, that's what I want to do. Screen share. I'm hoping that everyone can see this. Okay, and let's go. Okay, I used to do that a lot. I used to do that, not a lot. Maybe when I first started doing it, but it was 2007. I was in first grade again, and I was living, me and my parents and I finally had a house, and I was, here I am about to get emotional again, so bear with me. I woke up for school. Perhaps it was kindergarten, but it was 2007. I was waking up for school, and we're going through the back door of the house, because, you know, in certain houses, really the back door is the front door, the main door that everyone goes through, right? So we're leaving, and as I'm getting ready to go to school, there's another truck in the yard. And the other truck is about two, maybe three other people filled in. And my mom goes in that truck. Okay? And I really don't remember too much of a goodbye being said, if I'm being honest. And we're talking about a person, me, that remembers everything that happened to him as if it just happened. And I don't ask any questions, really. You know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna see mom later. And I don't really talk about that day with her or with my dad. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking going to work or whatever. There was never a conversation about, hey, there's never a conversation about, hey, mom's leaving for 10 years. Never going to see her, but, you know, three times. I got to see my mom three times from 2007 to when I moved with her in 2017. And let's talk about those times. Three times I got to see her. One time was that next year or two, 2008, 2009. I got to see her for summer vacation, the longest I ever got to see her. And I'm gonna be generous and say it was 2009. In 2012, I was a fifth grader, and this wasn't even supposed to happen, but I was living with my grandmother at the time, my dad's mom, and she, In a fairy tale, in every words of a fairy tale, I wake up to my grandmother and my mom talking. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, I don't say anything, I just hug my mom. And I get to spend spring break with her for a week. Now, my dad wanted to, because my dad had full custody over me. And my dad wanted to, and if he wanted to be petty or anything, he could have had something done, you know. Thankfully, he didn't. And that was actually, I take that back. That was the last time I got to see her, was in 2012. There was a time in the 2008, 2009 area, I got to spend one day with my mom. I got to spend one day with her. Now, I was living in Mobile, Alabama, and I reckon, because it wasn't a long, long drive, but it was a couple hour drive. So she had to be in like the Mississippi area, which is literally like the next state. Mississippi, maybe Louisiana area. And so I spent the entire day with her. We went to McDonald's. We went to one of her friend's house. We went to a little like church thing. And I'm remembering just how much fun I had. But at that time, I wasn't aware of the game. I wasn't aware of the game that no matter how much you pray, no matter how many birthday candle blowouts you give, none of that is going to bring your mom back. You have to understand, I got in trouble in school sometimes, rarely, but those rare moments were kind of very bad, you know, never physical altercations or like cussing anyone out, but like just me just not being aware. So it was I never got in trouble in the sense of he's acting out because of his mom not being here. A part of just me living day-to-day life, I got adjusted to not seeing my mom, which resulted in me not being able to feel my mom. There was no connection no more. There wasn't a connection anymore. And I would still think about her. You know, I would have those random moments of crying, of tears, of frustration. And my grandmother would always say, those headaches just get to me, man. I just had to leave for a minute, you know, get some water. You know, those headaches are just the worst sometimes. So, all seriousness, though, I guess this is the reality of talking about your childhood. And as someone that, you know, I don't like crying on the phone, on the internet, you know. But I had to pause for a minute just to get myself together. Okay, the camera's on. I need to act like I know people are going to watch this. So, my grandmother would say, "You miss your mom, don't you? You're missing your mom right now, yeah?" Yeah. Yes, ma'am, was the answer. And, you know, my grandmother knew, and I knew, that I knew my grandmother couldn't do much. She wasn't the reason why she left. You know, my grandmother wasn't the reason why my mom left. So, you have to understand that I love my mom and I love my mother so much. I did things. I lied for my mother to my dad. I said, forget you. I hate you. I remember it was one of the, I think it might have been the day, we kind of just got adjusted to it being me and him. And we had just gone cable, and it could have been that day, I don't remember. But I was seven or 8 years old, one of those ages. And I asked him, like, come here. And, like, he kind of, like, slumped over, bent over on a knee. And I whispered to him, I hate you. But I didn't say, like, I hate you. I didn't say, like, I hate you. I didn't say it in frustration. I didn't say it out of anger. I said it out of, like, I was proud to say it. Like, imagine me saying, I love you, and then me saying, I hate you. Like I didn't feel bad for saying it. Was it true? Yeah. To me, in a sense, you know, it's true. I had no anger towards, I didn't have the anger that I had when I was older towards him at that time. But I remember saying it as if it was just so, it was just like roundabout, like it was supposed to be said like that, you know. And the whole point of this episode was to talk about abandonment and what it did to me and what I hope it doesn't do to you. My mom leaving left in a void in my life. I needed validation from women. I needed a woman's love or validation, you know. I with my mom not being there, I guess my mind was like, if you don't do all of this, she's gonna leave. It's funny to think about it now. But yeah, that was it. Like, I had to overcompensate and I had to overdo just so I wouldn't have what my mom did to me done to me again. Now, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 year old, 11, 12, 13. We're talking about 10 years. Within 10 years, three times seeing her, and maybe 20 phone calls. Just about 20 phone calls. Now, I have nothing of that sort. I talk to a woman. It's an even playing field at this point. I don't need a woman's validation no more. I don't need to overgive because of the fear of being left. The only people that I, on a day-to-day basis, have should be fearful of leaving is God and me leaving myself. I say that with no exaggeration. I would never, and I should never leave myself, leave my morals, leave my story, leave my life for something that isn't for me. There's a lot of temptation in this world. I choose to not partake in it. If I did now, everything that I lived for, everything that I saw, was for nothing. it took me moving back with my mom and all the fighting that happened and all the arguments to finally get to the bread and butter of the 10-year gap. I had to be with her. I had to get through the grit and the dirt. I had to get through the arguments. We had to do those things. We had to get through the combustion and the explosives and all of that so I could finally get the growth, get the accomplishment that I needed. Not accomplishment, but I just had to live with her. I had to get what I needed that I was missing for 10 years so I can finally no longer need it from anyone else. I had a dream once when I was a little kid. I was around 9 years old. And I had a dream where there was no setup. It was just happening. My brother, my sister, and me, we were at a train station to see our mom. We were going to be with our mom. You want to know what happened? My mom forgot who I was. She didn't know who I was. She was confused. She had no memory of me. Now imagine the fear through a kid that had gone through the things that he already went through. And then think, is my mom going to forget about me? Is she going to forget who I am? My name, my face? Oh, I mean, you can say, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, you can say it now. But say that to a kid that was going through all of that. It hasn't been easy talking about this, evidently, if you're seeing this and if you're hearing this. But I made a decision a long time ago that I was no longer going to be embarrassed or feel guilty or feel shame for the things that happened to me that I had no control of. I don't do this podcast and I don't talk about it in my music for sympathy, for this world's smallest violin being played by Mr. Krabs, for clout. God, no. I don't do none of that for that. I do it because I believe I didn't have this. I didn't have anyone that was growing up that was going through the things that I went through, or that went through the things that I went through, that was sharing their truth and their story. And I do this podcast so I could be someone that I didn't have. That's why I do this. This episode has not been easy, evidently, again. And I don't have the technical editing skills to to get this stuff cleaned up all the way. But I do this again for people that had similar experiences, and for people that may be going through a similar experience or the start of this type of experience. I pray for you. I think nothing but the best for you. And I hope that I can be someone of a beacon of positivity and motivation for you, as what I didn't have when I was a kid. Every week I had John Cena telling me to never give up and hustle, loyalty, respect. But he doesn't know me. you can get to know me, and I can get to know you. We can talk. We can build. You can reach out to me, and we can do something great. Whether it's about working out, whether it's about, you know, toxic parents and households, I've been there. I didn't want to be, but I had no choice. And now I'm trying to do something positive from a negative situation. I thank God that I had the opportunity to be with my mom, even in the later stages of my childhood. And I was able to get what I needed, so I don't have abandonment issues no more. If a woman or a person wants to walk out my house or walk out of my life, hold up, let me get the door for you. I'm better than that. People, you are better than that. I don't, the weekend bar, never need a, I'm what a, need, it's a bit funny, but I don't need no one to be in my life that don't want to be and isn't going to respect me. I will get the door for you. I love you. Have a good rest of your day. Have a great weekend. And I will talk about this again. And hopefully I'm not going to be so emotional. But I did say fair warning. I talked about this on socials and I got emotional. I had to take a break. But I just thank God that I was able to grow from it. I still have feelings about it. But I'm not, like, I give some examples. You know, like, I would just overcompensate, like, texting. You know, I would just go out of my way to just do more for others. And it wasn't even just about women, but just, like, friends in high school. Like, I wasn't me in high school in the first two years, really. I was just so focused on how can I feel accepted. How can I... Now, I did have some good friends, like real friends. I'm not going to say I didn't. But what I'm saying is, in totality, it was... I was trading my peace, my growth, and for someone else. And I'm so glad that I don't have to do that no more. That I don't do it no more. I'm focused on me. I can be in a relationship and focus on them, but we're grown now. I need to be around people that can focus on them as well as focusing on the both of us. I kind of look cute when I cry. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on now. But yeah, like, I just used to give my time away for free. You know, I had no worth. Now, if I feel like the conversation isn't... If I feel like there's no growth between in us, there's no point. I'm not sticking around just for some dry conversation, some dry talk. I'm not doing that. I want growth from the things that I do. I've learned enough to, you know what I mean? Like, when people say, you know, you use it as a learning lesson. I've gone through too many learning lessons to continue to go through the same learning lesson. You know what I mean? Like, if I just feel like, whatever, this person is just dry, I'm going to be dry too. Or I'm not going to be there any longer. You know? I'm there as long as I want to be there. Not because I feel like I have to or that I need to. Nah. Like, sometimes I'm just bored and I'm going to just stick around until, okay, you know what? I'm officially done and I'm just gone. That's where I'm at now. You know, I have worth on my time now and on my energy. Okay, I'm not giving out my love to just anyone just for them to take it and not reciprocate it or not appreciate it. Not doing that. I'm too good for that. I got too much going that can be going for me in the future for me to be doing that. I'm not just looking at what's in front of me. I'm looking at the map. I'm looking at the route. I'm preparing for myself for any detours, for going left, for going right, for going up hills, going down hills. I'm looking at what's in front of me, and I'm preparing myself for what's next. And with that being said, I'm so happy I was able to do this and get through it. I love y'all. Y'all take it easy.